Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pardinal Podcast. It has been a hot minute since I did one of these, which I'll tell you all about that, how I spent my summer vacation and kind of go into some details. There really wasn't a whole lot to write home about, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's been a while. You guys have been patiently waiting, I think since May. So anyway, this is episode 54. I'm solo this week. It's just going to be me. I don't even know how many more solo episodes I'm going to have to do, but I'm going to do this one since coming in hot off a very wet summer. Now I know, summer is not really coming to an end for a lot of y'all. Y'all are in the South and whatever, and you still got like months of heat. But I live in the North and, it's slowly dwindling away. So, winter is coming. And so that's where I'm at. And, I figure I'd start this thing back up for a little bit, talk about some of the shows that have come out over the summer, some of the things that I've been working on, a lot of projects. One of them, which I should mention right off the bat, if you're watching this on like Spotify, YouTube, or Rumble, oh, by the way, you can watch me on Spotify. I'm like at Joe Rogan level, so you can go to Spotify and actually watch this like a video, like a TV, like the young kids when they watch the YouTubes. But yeah, there's an intro video now. And so if you're listening to this and it's audio only, like, well, the intro just kind of seemed like it was an extra 15 seconds longer. Well, it's because it was. And I put together an intro video to kind of make it look a little bit more professional. Truthfully, it looks like a sophomore in high school who is just starting TikTok. It doesn't really have that professional feel. And I'm going to tell you why. I am what people call a Luddite. And I think I talked about this way back in the day. I'm not very tech savvy. And so, I mean, I legit write things on paper. That's just what I do. I mean, I paint with, I don't do cool graphic design stuff with a tablet and the cool, I just paint like they used to do for thousands of years. So yeah, I made that intro. I'm a bit proud of it. I was a little surprised, how good that came out. Right. Yeah. It wasn't that great, but here's the thing. You can go to Pardinal merch and buy merch, and then I'll get money and I can pay a legit person to make an awesome intro video. That's kind of the plan. And so if you like this intro video is awful, I wish he had a really good one. Well, that's one way you can help me out. Go to pardinalmerch.com, and check out, matter of fact, let's pull that up. Why not? I got to get back into the swing of things. Actually, I'm not going to do Pardinal merch. You can actually go to, check this out, you can go to pardinwill.etsy.com and check out my store. And you can go there and peruse all my art, buy digital downloads for $6. You can go to prints. Look at these sweet watercolors. These are all prints. So you can choose the different sizes. If you go off to the left, you have, you can change, you want to see the antique journal art. Look at that Mandalorian armor, Lord of the Rings, Supernatural. All kinds of cool stuff there. And then if you're like, well, I like this, but I want the actual one that he painted on. Boom. Here's some of the originals I have, and they're all for sale. Prices right there. So you can go to pardinwill.etsy.com and support me. And then I'll hire someone to make an awesome intro video, so you won't have to deal with that anymore. Anyway, hopefully that worked. It's been a minute. I'm still shaking off the rust and getting back into this thing, with the whole clicking and pulling stuff up. Again, if you're listening this audio only, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm trying to keep up with the kids these days. So that's what happened. So this summer, one of the reasons why, and I kind of take off every summer, sometimes more than that, when it comes to the podcast, because I mean, I'm busy, guys. I've had a ton of stuff I've been working on. One of the things is getting better with, one of the things is actually fixing my Etsy and kind of working it around and organizing a little bit more. And along with the merch store, and I'm still in the process of working that. So if it's like, doesn't look anything, it still looks like a jumbled mess. That's because I didn't really finish it this summer, but I have been revamping the website, so you can actually go to pardinwill.com. I'm not going to pull that up because I'm too lazy, and it'll be all there. Be like, I want to buy a t-shirt, or I want to buy his art, or I want to read a poem, or I want to, you know, peruse his art there, whatever. You're probably watching this. You can actually watch this on the website. That's all stuff I've been working on this summer, along with really the thing that I've spent a lot of time with outside of like doing normal house stuff. I'll get into that in a second. There's this art poetry book that I've put together, where it's a lot of my fine art over the years and all my poetry. And designed it and sent off to some friends of mine who were editing it and putting it together. And that should be coming out. And I got some cool stuff I'm going to do with that. Maybe make some videos where I'm reading the poetry, or I don't know. I haven't figured it out. I haven't really thought it through. But the other thing that I've been doing is mostly just yard work. Up here in the north, you get like 3 months of decent weather to do stuff outside. So that's where I've been. I know I've been, you guys have been missing me a whole bunch, but you know, you gotta prioritize. That was another thing I did this summer, is I really sat down and thought about what I wanted to do, what I wanted to really put my focus and my efforts towards. And a lot of it came out to, like, I want to spend time building stuff and putting together this art poetry and spending time with my family and really thinking about what's important. Stuff doing, like, well, the podcast, because obviously we know I've got a million subscribers and this thing is well off on its heels and doing really well enough where I'm making my own intro videos. I had to think about it. Even the podcast, like, what do I want to do with this thing? And I've had a lot of people ask me, like, well, what's the podcast about? I'm like, well, talk about a lot about art, culture and life. That's basically what I designed the podcast around. And whereas as much as I absolutely hate doing solo episodes where I'm just ranting, I'm probably going to start doing a lot more of those, because sometimes getting interviews is a little bit difficult. My schedule doesn't always work well. Plus, I've got like a million things I'm doing and going over all the time. So I haven't really figured out what I'm doing with this thing. I just know I like doing it. And so if it works out where I'm just coming on here and, you know, once, maybe every 2 weeks, once a week, and just ranting about Ahsoka or Loki that's coming out, then I might just do that. And instead of shooting for the stars where I'm like, oh, I want this thing to look immaculate and I want to have outline. I mean, I have an outline, but I mean, I'm probably just going to wing them. Like, I'm going to wing this episode. I mean, it's the first one back after a few months. Why not just sort of prepare, sort of not? But anyway, that's what I've been doing. So that's what you can kind of look forward to. I've got a few other projects, especially with the YouTubes and, like I said, doing that poetry thing, because I got that book coming out. I might start working on that. And that way you can just, instead of being like, well, I'm not going to buy this book. Who cares? I don't like reading poetry anyway. Maybe you can watch a video with me, like, talking over it, doing the poetry over something cool. Maybe be painting. I don't know. The sky's the limit. Canvas is the limit. Whatever my tech ability is able to do, unless you buy a ton of art and then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to hire a videographer and graphic designer. Anyway, that was a long, stupid rant to start this thing off with. Anyway, let's get to, oh, I did want to do something real quick. So here's another project since I'm on this rant. Here's something that I did plan out in my notes. And for the listeners, I don't know how well this is going to work if you're just listening and not watching, but saddle in. I'm going to show you this clip, this movie. I talked about this in an episode before the summer, Quantumania. Did a whole review over that. And it was mediocre. And then, you know, I talked about Guardians of the Galaxy, which I still, the other night, my wife refuses to watch it because I kind of told her, I was like, it's emotionally rough. And I said this on that episode where I reviewed it too. I cried multiple times in the movie theater and cried just thinking about some of those scenes. That's how, and again, spent the whole summer thinking about priorities, and that movie is still so good. I love that movie. So if you haven't seen if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 3, go watch it and bring some tissues, because it's a tearjerker. Anyway, so in Quantumania, there's Scott Lang, he's Ant-Man, right? And this is after all the Endgame stuff. He comes out with a book, and I'm going to show you a clip if I can pull this up. Let me see if I can do this, and we're going to watch this real quick. Let's see how this is gonna work. And I'm gonna full screen it. All right, and I hope the sound comes through. Let's see.
Do I miss the action? Sometimes. Will I be there when the Avengers need me? Absolutely. I'd never turn my back on them. But right now, the only job I want is being a dad. I love you, Cassie. Thanks for being my hero. And I'm sorry I missed some birthdays. And for the rest of you kids out there, word of advice. Look out for the little guy.
All right, sweet. Let's see if I can pull that back down. All right, so that's a scene from the movie, right? And one of the things, obviously, I'm a big fan of stupid stuff like this. and I don't remember if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I was super stoked about it. So that's a scene from a movie where he writes a book and he talks about it. There's another one in Ms. Marvel where they bring up. He has a podcast, which I thought was hilarious as well. But shortly after that, they made the book available. And guess what came in 2 days ago? Yeah. Yeah, so here's, I haven't read it yet, but it's pretty rad. Even on the back, it, you know, has, let me see if you can't really see this, but it has forwards from all the people on the Avengers as the Avengers character. So the whole book, and I skimmed through it, it's legit, like, he wrote a book in that universe. It's not like Paul Rudd writing a book about being Ant-Man. It's legit, like, it reads like you're in the universe. And what's one of the things I love about this stuff is I like to collect stuff, not collectibles, like this was in the movie, you know, this is the one he actually held. I just like it. I mean, I think I don't know, it's dumb, but one of the things I think I am gonna do is I actually am gonna do a book review of this. I think that'll be pretty rad. Anyway, I'll read one of the back ones in the back of the book. On the back, it says, this is from Dr. Stephen Strange. If you always hoped Ant-Man would write a book, you're in luck. I confess I did not, but I enjoyed it all the same. That stuff like that is scary. It's pretty tight. Anyway, you can go on Amazon.com and look that up. Look out for the little guy. And you can order yourself a copy, I think. I ordered that back in like May, and it finally arrived. Wow. Anyway, that was pretty cool. Hopefully that video worked out. Hopefully the sound came through and you were just staring at a screen with no sound. I don't know if that works yet. Again, Luddite, not really sure what I'm doing. But let's get to, I'm going to do a quick Ahsoka review. And this is probably going to come out right when the next episode comes out, which is Tuesday at 9, if you're in the East, on the East Coast. I haven't seen it yet, obviously. I'm recording this before this comes out. This isn't live by any means, but so Ahsoka, right off the bat, just a heads up, I didn't really watch Rebels or Clone Wars, which has a lot to do with Ahsoka. This is basically like the next season of Rebels, and it takes place around the Mandalorian time, so I'm kind of familiar with that. We've already been introduced to Ahsoka in Mandalorian and I think Book of Boba Fett. So Ahsoka is Star Wars, by the way. Anybody was like, what the hell is he talking about? It's a TV series, comes out on Disney. Anyway, so the Ahsoka thing, it's pretty cool so far. We're 4 episodes in as I'm recording this. And so I'm going to spoil it, heads up. Spoilers. So if you haven't seen this, just, you know, don't listen to this podcast at all. But yeah, so since I didn't want, I did a recap. I watched, you can go to like, New Rock Stars on YouTube, and they broke it down, like all the important things from Clone Wars and Rebels about Ahsoka and the characters involved. So you can watch that, get a good recap. But the fact that you have to kind of know that to kind of really pull yourself into it was, I'm kind of regretting saying this at the time, was kind of a weird thing. Like it, and I'll bring that up in a second, but I had to take, like, because if you don't really know these characters, you're not really attached. The storyline kind of feels wonky right off the bat, because it's just kind of really references stuff that if you've never watched Rebels or Clone, you're like, what's going on here? Like, I think I'm kind of picking it up. And I probably could have said the same thing for like Obi-Wan. What if you've never watched any Star Wars and you're like, I'm going to watch this Disney Plus series Obi-Wan. Who's this guy? Probably the same thing. I just know Obi-Wan and I know all about that stuff. So that I never tripped over that thing, but so I could probably say the same thing about that. I have no idea, but it does feel wonky. And even 4 episodes in, the characters are great. I think it's decent. It's just not, I'm not really pulled in. Like, I'm not really attached to many, except for really Ahsoka, because we're introduced to her in Mandalorian and stuff like that. So kind of have a feel for it, but the other characters, I'm not really tied into them yet. I think this last episode that came out, well, let me not jump ahead. So the first few episodes, they dropped 2 at the same time. I did like them. I thought they did a great job with her character from what I do remember from Rebels and Clone Wars. I really like some of the stuff that they pull off with her. Like when, you know, she throws the lightsabers around, she spins them and cuts a hole in the, like we saw that in the trailer, cuts a hole in the ground and falls through. I just like that stuff. I thought that was a really cool add to it. The other thing I do like And I think my wife preferably loves it because my wife watched all the Rebels and Clone Wars. She loves Ahsoka. So she's all about this series. She loves it. But they bring a little bit more instead of it just being like the Force and, you know, the universe and space tech but you can telekinesis and all this mystical Jedi stuff. They brought in, and they did this in Rebels too, they kind of brought some weird witchcraft stuff into it, which is a whole other side of the Star Wars universe that you never really got to see except for in Rebels. And they're bringing that into this, and I thought that was really cool. It's a nice little touch. It's like, instead of it being, it's like the MCU, where you got like Tony Stark, and he's all tech stuff, and then you got the alien stuff, which is kind of weird. But then you have Doctor Strange, which is like spells, and, you know, and all the Scarlet Witch, and it's kind of like a mystical magic kind of feel to it, and they're doing that with Star Wars, and I really do like that. I think that's really cool. They show a lot of that, even some of the small details like the holograms when that one lady's doing, she uses her magic. It's not Force, it's not tech, it's witchcraft. They're doing holograms with that, and the holograms are even more detailed than they are normally when, you know, they hold up a little person talking to them in a hologram. So I really like that the aspect of it. I do like, obviously, going through the Mandalorian, it always was really cool when Luke would show up, or, you know, there was a lightsaber in it, because Mandalorian was all about gunslinging. And so every time you got a lightsaber, it was like, oh, this is fun, because it reminds you of Star Wars again. And so there is no shortage of that in Ahsoka. And I do like that, especially coming off of Andor, where I loved Andor, but there was no real Force Jedi stuff in it at all. And the fact that they pulled Andor off, and a lot of people liked it, I thought a lot of people liked it, because it was kind of a spy espionage movie. The fact that they brought that into Star Wars, I'm not sure if I talked about that at all, but I really thought that was a cool side of the Star Wars thing. So that with the witchcraft thing, but, and they're tying in the Jedi, I'm liking that the Andor feel, the gun, really the Mandalorian feel isn't in there yet, but the Jedi and then the whole witchcraft thing, they're all kind of coming together, the espionage Jedi witchcraft collaboration. And Ahsoka, I think it's going to do really well. I think they're doing a really good job with it now. And truthfully, it was kind of hit or miss coming off that last Mandalorian season. And I talked about that. You can go back and rewatch that episode. It was a good season. Kind of just didn't feel right. Didn't feel like the Mandalorian. I'll just end it there. So I'm stoked about this. Again, characters are a little bit... Oh, one thing I did butt up against, because I knew... At the end, so there's this whole weird time gap. So at the end of Rebels, there's this scene where Sabine is like in front of this mural, and it's almost like shot for shot they do live action of it. And Ahsoka's behind her, and they're like, "All right, let's go find Ezra." I know if you've never seen Ahsoka, you're like, "What is it?" Just bear with me. There's a scene in Rebels, but it's, you know, it's animation. Well, it starts off that way in the live action, except for there's like years in between. And I thought they could have done better with that. I was like, well, why not just, if you're going to do a shot for shot, instead of like putting this weird gap in between, we still don't really know what happens in the meantime. They kind of just like, you'll figure it out. Or they're going to explain it. I have no idea. We're only four episodes in. I kind of feel like it's a little late to the game for them to go back. Oh, that time between where we did the shot for shot animation and then the shot where it's, they go through the same motions. Except for something happened in between. I didn't like that. I thought they could have done better with that. For Filoni to do that to it, I was like, I kind of felt let down. Like that was like someone accidentally made a mistake and they're like, well, we didn't catch this or something. Anyway, I did butt up against that. But everything else, the star fights, the lightsaber battles that we've seen so far, loving it. I'm going to bring this up because I do this every time I talk about this stuff. I know most of you guys don't care. I'm not a filmmaker, nor did I study any of that stuff, but I love art, and I love the way I've always loved it. I thought one of the best, and I actually painted one of these back in the day, one of the best art scenes in a movie was Luke and Vader in that dark, on Bespin, it's dark in that chamber where they, you know, froze Han Solo, and they're fighting, and all you really see is the glow of the lightsabers and then the reflections on stuff. I think artistically is amazing. Well, they upped it big time with this last episode, episode 4 of Ahsoka. I think it's episode 4. God, I hope I'm not wrong on that. I'm pretty sure it's episode 4, this last one. Where they're on the planet and there's the woods is all red. And Star Wars is doing a great job with like these different planets and the textures and the way things feel. But it looks like it's a perpetual planet with fall. Like all the trees are just like deep crimson red. But in the forest, they're fighting and they have like, instead of a red lightsaber, it's an orange, which I thought it was red, but it's kind of orangish versus green. And just the way it's lit up in the fight, I love that. I love artistically, I want that as a painting. Like I want that as a giant paint. I might paint that because I love that so much. And Ahsoka's, hers being silver, versus, I thought they did, the lightsaber battles are awesome. I just absolutely love them. The concept in general, again, not a Rebels Clone Wars guy. So the concept is what it is. The weird, I'll talk about the space between time or whatever, but the fact that they're going to another galaxy is pretty rad. I wouldn't have, it feels a little too big, but I don't know where they're going with Star Wars. And after the last, you know, sequels where they're trying to fix those, I could see them kind of having to pull out all the stops. So them being like, we're going to not just travel within this galaxy in a long time, long ago in a place far, far away. We're going to jump galaxies into a place that we've never been before. Kind of cool. Kind of feels like multiverse stuff, like the MCU multiverse. You never know what could be over there. And me and my wife talked about this as a cool theory. I don't know if anybody on the internet's talked about this yet, but the idea that you can jump galaxies. And in the intro of Star Wars, is always done, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, kind of gives you the feel that they could hyperspace. If they can jump galaxies, they can jump to our galaxy, which kind of puts you, this is one of the things I have loved about it so far. It does kind of put you going, hey, like I'm in the Star Wars universe. Cause if they can jump to another galaxy, what's saying they can jump to our galaxy? And then, you know, we have Jedi and stuff here. Anyway, I thought that was a nice little touch. I'm pretty sure me and only like 10-year-olds are like, this is cool. I'm in the Star Wars universe. It's probably just me being a kid at heart. But I do like that stuff. It was the same thing with the MCU, the multiverse, and our universe being one of the multiverses. Cool stuff. I like this kind of storytelling. I think it's really neat. All right, so for the big spoiler at the end of episode 4. The world between worlds. I don't know much about that. I watched the Rebels episode about it. It doesn't make sense. Again, it's kind of multiverse stuff again, time travel. So it's a cool place. Feels like a video game, like a Zelda thing or something like that. But it's cool. But then Anakin shows up. I don't know what, there's a ton of fan theories. But again, I think you have to have watched Clone Wars and Rebels to really get a fan theory from it. But it was a nice touch. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to end it here. It always feels like the redeeming aspects of these series, and this is not a knock on them. It's probably a knock on Star Wars fans and their viewers. It always feels like the redeeming aspect of whenever you're like, because I admit this, the show felt slow off the bat, and then it kind of started speeding up. But then they threw this plot twist at the very end where she's in the world between worlds, and then they CGI young Anakin, right? And I was like, I even felt my heart flow. I was like, this is cool. I'm liking this. I'm tied in. Let's go. Let's go for the long haul. Let's do this. Similar to the way I felt. Which I like Mandalorian. You're like, oh, we're getting some weird name drops like Tarkin. And there's Bo-Katan. I know she was in Rebels. Those like cameos. I mean, those cameos do so much for this stuff. But I think we're kind of feeding off that. So now when I watch a show like I remember when Obi-Wan was coming out, I made this prediction. I was like, they're going to bring Yoda in. Not that I'm not amazed with Obi-Wan. I love the Obi-Wan series. But I was like, why wouldn't they bring Obi-Wan? Yoda in. Obi-Wan knows Yoda's on Dagobah. When did he find out Yoda's on Dagobah? I bet they bring him in. He tells him, hey, I'm on Dagobah. Didn't end up being true. But I think that whole cameo, number one, it feels like it ties everything back into the universe again. I think that was the same thing with Mandalorian. Like all of a sudden Luke shows up and you're like, oh my God, it is part. We all know it's the same universe. They're fighting, you know, stormtrooper stuff, but it just felt like it was. It felt like we were back in the movie theater watching a Star Wars movie and it was all connected. And I think that feeling of everything, I think the series and the movies, the reason why they bring cameos in, I think they botched the sequels with killing Luke and Han and Leia off. I don't know if that was all necessary. But I think the thing about that is the feeling of connectivity. That's one of my big arguments with the MCU. They just I like when they bring Luke in Mandalorian. It starts to feel like Star Wars. And I think even Ahsoka, like we've seen all these things happening in, but the big high point is, oh, they brought Anakin in. So it's starting to feel like it's all connected. And that was the big part about the multiverse. And my MCU complaint was we got the multiverse and all these, and Spider-Man, that one worked out well with bringing like Tobey Maguire and stuff like that. That was like, whoa, this is connected more than I ever thought they were connected. But I think that familiarity is something that people really like. Not so much the surprise being like, oh, they CGI'd Anakin, that's cool. But the familiar, making it feel like it's home, like making it, it's like being away. And I'm away from my family. My family lives all over the place. And you know, spending Christmas and seeing all your family again, like, oh, this feels like home. And maybe, you know, you're not actually at home, but your family, that connectivity. I think that, and I've thought about this probably way too much, but I think that's what it is. And I think we all hold on to those. Andor's a great example. And this is a weird one. So Saul Guerrera, he was in Rebels, Clone Wars. He was also in Rogue One. He had a small part. I didn't really know him at that time. But even Andor really didn't bring anybody in but Saul Guerrera and Mon Mothma. And even then was just a little bit enough to go, yes, oh my God, it's part of the same story. We're all in the same universe again. And so I think when it comes to this, I think we're, as fans, we're a bit selfish. Have a great, like, I love these series. I enjoy them. But part of me the whole time has been like, who are they going to bring in? And I think that comes to that connectivity to kind of make it all feel like one piece, one big piece of artwork instead of all these small sections. We know they're in the same universe. They're happening in this timeline, but they feel so far away and distant. To get them to come together and start seeing these characters. Oh, I remember that character from there. And I mean, small stuff when they Mandalorian brought the droid in, the R droid from way back in A New Hope, the one that blew up when R2 and Luke was like, this one's got a bad motivator. And they picked R2. They brought that droid in just as fan service, but it also makes it feel complete. Anyway, long rant about Ahsoka. I think that was chef's kiss. I think we're getting used to that now. But I don't think it turns anybody away. I just think it's just a cherry on top of kind of making everything feel cohesive again. So I don't have any predictions for Ahsoka. I know we're going to get Ezra. Obviously, Tarkin was in the trailer. I don't know where they're going to go from there. A lot of people are like, this is a bad visage of Anakin. He's, you know, he just, you know, it's an evil version of it. I don't know. I don't care at this point. I'm not super tied into Ahsoka. I'm just along for the ride. The fact that they brought Anakin in is great. Love it. Let's rock and roll, see what happens. I heard a rumor that he's in like 3 episodes. I actually thought it was going to be a flashback. I thought they were going to bring him in as a flashback, like, here's this thing that we never saw, kind of like how they did in Obi-Wan, which another great one, an Obi-Wan. I mean, other than the fact that it's friggin' Darth Vader is in it the majority of the time, which is awesome. They even did a flashback of them dueling. Again, little stuff like that, just cherries on top. Just makes you really fall in love with the series even more so. Anyway, so that's Ahsoka. The other thing I'm looking forward to as far as shows coming up, which I'm going to do podcasts about, is my boy Loki. Loki season 2 coming out October 6th. Super, super stoked about that. So stoked. Went back and rewatched it, the whole series before. I forgot how good that series is. One of the better series that the MCU has done. And again, they didn't really bring in a ton of, they didn't really do that, like, here's a good cameo, but still really good. And I think they made up for it with all the creativity of it. The fact that he went into the, you know, the void, and there's all these, you know, Thor Frog and Alligator Loki, and all the storyline was great. I thought it was a great build up for Kang. I think they've botched it since then, but we're about to find out. I think Loki season 2 is going to be the Kang redemption thing, because I have my qualms with Quantumania. Even though I bought the book, Quantumania was a bit of a letdown, but super stoked. One thing I did notice, and if you go back and watch Loki, and I'm hoping they do the same thing, I don't know who did the music for that, one of the best soundtracks for a TV series. I liked Moon Knight's soundtrack too, but man, Loki's is so good. Like, if you don't notice, the music in it is amazing. That's my art review for Loki season 1. Season 2 is going to be legit. One of the things, and this is all going to tie it in, and I know I just went on a long rant, so if you're like, I hate Star Wars, this sucks, you probably quit listening, so it doesn't matter. If you're still listening, I'm going to go into a little bit more about a show I've watched, but I'm going to talk a little bit about a little bit about what's going on, because here's the thing about the Loki season two. With the writer's, I don't know if you know about this, but there's been a giant writer's strike all summer, where Hollywood, you know, all the writers for all these TV shows and stuff, they went on strike because, and they do this like every so often, but this is one time where it's lasted quite a long. In fact, I think it's still going on. And because of that, they're pushing stuff off. And then Disney's even coming in and just shelving some stuff, going like, we don't even know if we're actually going to get to this. I think Daredevil was one that got shelved, which is kind of a bummer because they did my boy wrong in She-Hulk. But I'm kind of torn on that one, because if they did him wrong in She-Hulk, are they really going to do him justice with his own series? So I'm just going to kind of pretend She-Hulk doesn't exist and go back to Netflix, because those were amazing. Anyway, it's writer strike. Stay on topic. I think this might be the last good series we get in a hot minute. They're gonna pull apart and we'll podcast, and we're not gonna get anything for a while, most likely. And so that ties into something I think I'm gonna get into. But one of the things about the writer's strike, I'm gonna point this out because I have my thoughts about it. I get it. I get them being like, the streaming thing that's thrown the whole industry off. This happens every time. Like Napster came out, streaming music threw the whole industry off. Like this happens ever so often. and I have no idea how to solve this and how to make sure the writers get paid a decent amount and how this works. But one thing I did notice is, it's a lot of Hollywood. Obviously it's in Hollywood. And I didn't notice anybody who isn't in that echo chamber, that sphere of like, this is Hollywood and this is what you I didn't notice anybody super upset about the writer's strike, and I'm going to tell you why. So if you're a writer or you're in Hollywood and you're like, why don't these people care, I'm gonna tell you why I don't really care. Number one, I'm not a big fan of unions. There's a little side tip. I don't know, I've never been a big fan of unions. I work construction, never been a big fan of unions. I probably shouldn't go into why. I'm just a bit of a free spirit. And I think if you're good at what you do, you don't need a union to back you up. If you're like, well, you know, without unions, they'll not get good pay. Go get a different job. I know that sounds harsh. And if you're in a union, I'm sorry. There's, you know, you get benefits, you know, you get representation. You get the mob running it and make sure they elect the right officials. You got to pay their dues for, I don't know. I don't know much about unions. I just know I've never been in one, and had the option a few times and flat out refused. But I'm also, you know, self-contracted, so not really a part of any corporation. So it's just not a world I'm into. Anyway, the whole unions thing, I think if Hollywood was like, you know, we're just going to get rid of unions, and there'd be a laundry list of good writers that would be like, yeah, I'll work for you. I don't work in a union. But they can't hire anybody that's not in the union because of some whatever agreement in California. I don't know. I don't know the details. But I will tell you this. Writing in Hollywood has sucked really bad for a while. So if any, and you, maybe you're listening to this or you're watching this and you're like, you know, I feel the same. I haven't really cared about the writer's strike. Yeah, I think they deserve good pay. Okay, well, I think I deserve good writing. And one of the reasons why they're probably not getting paid enough is because we've seen the stats. Of all the shows that have come out, especially of Disney, that have just tanked. Even I think Ahsoka's not doing that great. And so all of these shows have come out, and I have my own reasons why I think they tanked. And people were like, well, at first it was like, well, COVID's ruining all this stuff, so we're losing money, and then streaming, and sure, whatever. She-Hulk's a great reason why stuff is tanking. It was awful. Even a lot of the movies. Multiverse of Madness, I had qualms with that. Quantumania, I had qualms with that. Guardians of the Galaxy was the only one, and I said this at the time, the only good MCU movie that has come out since Endgame. Moon Knight was great. Loki was great. I liked Hawkeye. I thought they did a good job with that. But for the most part, all of the movies that come out, people, it's nothing but complete. And now this may be like a culture war thing. Everything's politicized, which we know is a fact. It's only getting worse, which is going to tie into the topic that I want to talk about tonight or today. This is only getting, it's only gotten worse, and it's only going to get worse. And so we saw that with the Bud Light. I brought the Bud Light thing up. The culture war is like Eliath and Loki, and it's just swarming and eating everything up. So you can't really have an opinion about anything anymore. Like the fact that I was like, I'm not a fan of unions. I don't know what political class, just libertarian probably throws me in that class, because I don't know any political thing, but I'm sure someone could politicize it and be like, well, he's right wing or left wing. I don't, definitely not left wing. Left wing loves unions. But yeah, I think a lot of people don't care about the writer's strike is because a lot of people are dissatisfied. Personally, that's mine. Like, I don't know. Even the weird fourth wall. God, I hate bringing up She-Hulk again. I'm sounds so bitter. It might be because I am. But the thing where she goes into the writer's room, and even that scene, I was like, screw these people. Like, I hate these writers. Like, I hate whatever you're doing. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. They talk about that. Like, the Tonight Show and all these late night shows. They're not having shows. And I don't know if anyone cares. No one cares. Jimmy Fallon's not on any. I don't, maybe people are. Like, bring back the dancing syringes. Like, we want propaganda now and make it funny, sort of. I don't know anybody who misses this stuff, and I might be in my own little bubble where it's just me and my wife and my dogs. And I, you know, my dogs are like, David, this show suck. And I'm like, yeah, I know, right? And so that's my dog's opinion. Even he hates this stuff. So my dog doesn't care. My dog doesn't care about the writer's strike. Neither one of them. They think the writer's strike stuff is whatever. They could be on strike forever and won't matter. And the only reason I say it is I love all the stuff coming out, but I just don't know if it's going to get any better. I'm really fingers crossed for Loki season 2. Again, Guardians of the Galaxy volume 3 was great. Thor Love and Thunder was just not even going to go into it. I threw that. And if Thor wrote a book, I probably wouldn't have bought it. If it was like, you know, Thor Odin's son, I shoot lightning, buy my book, I would have been like, no, I'm not doing that. Even if it would have looked cool on my shelf, wouldn't have done it. Anyway, stupid long rant. The writer's strike. Again, I think everything's becoming political. And I'm saying this because this is where I'm going. Guys, I think it's only going to get worse from here on out. The political stuff. I think people are going to, like, certain movies, like, you can say, like, well, you know, I didn't like She-Hulk because I'm misogynist. No, I just didn't like She-Hulk because I hated the fourth wall stuff. That was, and I know that's a comic book thing. I hated that. I didn't mind the character. I thought character wasn't a bad idea. I didn't like what they did to Daredevil. They made him look, he just didn't feel right. He felt weak and stupid. But the fourth wall thing, the going to, you know, Disney in Hollywood, I just talked about, like, it's cool, we're in the universe. That just didn't feel right, man. It really made everything feel weak. I'm not gonna rant about She-Hulk again. Anyway, I like a lot of these movies just for the fun of it sometimes, you know. Like Thor Love and Thunder, I didn't like it, but I didn't like it because I think my expectations were high. It's Taika Waititi, he did Ragnarok. I was really like, this is gonna be legit. And then a lot of the jokes didn't land in it. They made Thor feel stupid. And I know they did that in Endgame, and I kind of didn't like that much then either, but it was a redemptive at the end. And this one didn't really, I mean, there's some story. It just didn't feel right. Again, a lot of these come to differ. Artistically, I thought Gore the God Butcher was amazing villain, did a great job. But yeah, I don't know if people are really liking the stuff coming out. And I think that dissatisfaction is showing up. And I think a lot of people are not really caring about writers in the strike because of that. Because, I mean, what have they given us? Like, now I'm in the point where I just want to watch indie stuff because maybe it's somebody coming up, you know, out of the dust with not being in a union and just writing whatever they love and whatever they feel like. I feel like that's going to be even better. When I say things are only going to get worse, guys, and this is where I'm bringing up, and I'm going to tie this into another show I've been watching. It is 2023, and I know I've been gone all summer, but I've been fully aware of all of the political and culture war and stuff coming out throughout the whole thing. Matter of fact, I almost hopped on here and just did a review of the Oliver Anthony song, the Richmond, North of Richmond. I don't really have much to review about it. Cool song, dug it. Lyrics did, I'm gonna be honest, lyrics kind of felt wonky, but I still was like, I'm okay with wonky now. I just said I want indie artists showing up. So at that point, I'm like, yeah, throw the radio in the garbage. I'm all for fudge rounds and stuff like that being in song lyrics. But I think that's a cultural shift moment. Things are starting to show up. That guy, I mean, from other than what I know, conspiracy theory, he's a plant. The guy just, I mean, I listened to a ton of podcasts. When he was like Tuesday, he was like, I'm going to put this thing up on the internet. And by Friday, he was like, I got contracts. That's a cool story. Like, that's legit awesome. But I also think that's indicative of what our culture is going through and what our country is going through. And it is only 2023. And people always say, you know, election years, you know, can get wild. Everything's, it's only getting worse. 2020 was we had riots. I know for different, whatever reasons, you can tell me that. COVID, George Floyd, you can tell me whatever reason you think people lost their minds. Sure, that might just been season one, and they might be, they, when I say they, I'm just saying the world might be upping the ante. And the only reason I say it is because people are way more on edge. Back when I talked about doing the podcast, and really, I don't really get into political stuff. A lot of libertarian people come on, and I mentioned, I was like, I might start talking a little bit more politics. Now it's almost as if I can't talk about anything without a political wing being involved in that. And I brought that up with a few guests of mine, being like, it seems like I used to study religion, and that used to be like the hot topic. Don't talk. But now it seems like politics is the new religion. These are just denominations of religion, you know, where the government is God, and whoever has the, you know, the coattails of the God gets what they want. That's only getting worse, man. And the culture war is keeping up with the politics. And now I still think culture is, it rules the politics of the day. And I still think that, I just don't know if this is going to get any better. And on top of that, this is a weird segue. And again, I didn't plan this out too much. That's where we're going for now. So the other show I've been watching, and this is because some more stuff's coming out, and I haven't really seen this in a long time, is I started rewatching The Walking Dead. So spoilers for anybody who didn't see The Walking Dead or stopped at one point in time, I'm going to spoil some stuff. I really want to talk about The Walking Dead because this ties into the whole, you know, I like to do, bring it all together. The Walking Dead, I knew they were coming out with a new spinoff, Daryl Dixon, which is just about Daryl, which is cool. Spoiler alert, he didn't die in The Walking Dead, hasn't yet. I'm not finished with the full series, but I'm right up at the end of all season 11. So I'm right at the end of the Walking Dead series. A Dead City, which is pretty awesome. That was the first one I saw that was like, I definitely want to see this. And then The Ones Who Live, which is about Rick. Rick comes back with Michonne. So they have three different spinoffs coming out right at the same time, which means I'm buying AMC Plus just so I can watch them. But for right now, Netflix has The Walking Dead, the full series. I didn't go back to the beginning because I watched The Walking Dead all the way up to when Rick is not there anymore. And then this is when they were coming out, and I just quit. And I was like, well, I don't really feel like watching this. But now with all these new series coming out, I was like, this summer, I'm going to go back. So all summer, I went back to where you really get to meet Negan. And, you know, the whole Glenn and Abraham, that whole ordeal, that season finale kind of thing. I went back and started at that episode, and I've watched the rest of the entire series. I think I'm a few episodes from the end, and started watching. And a friend of mine started watching it as well. He started from the very beginning because he'd never seen it before. So he started from the very beginning, stoked about all the new ones coming out. He's a little bit behind me, but he started watching it too. So we're super stoked, super excited about these shows. Automatically, all three of the spinoffs look amazing. Not what I was going to talk about. Oh, I am going to point out one thing. There's an episode, by far my favorite episode. I mean, there's a few that are really good. One of them is, and if you haven't noticed, I love horror movies, obviously. There's an episode, I think it's in season 9, where whoever directed that one loves horror movies, and it felt like finally, like all The Walking Dead, well, it's zombies, it's supposed to be scary, but doesn't always have like a horror movie feel, like a real almost campy horror movie feel. This one episode does, and it's the episode where you kind of get to meet the Whisperers. And just for a spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it because it is a great episode. I wish I could tell you what number it is, but you meet the Whisperers. And it is, I mean, it's dark, it's thunderstorm. These zombies are like, it's Night of the Living Dead feels like that. It feels like a good old school Night of the Living Dead film, like movie. They just did a great job of that. Great episode. So anyway, this friend of mine, we were talking. And I don't know where we were talking about the wine. He goes, hey man, I was thinking about this. How do you feel about what, if that were to actually happen, do you think things would play out like that? Like, do you think people would be as divisive, and do you think it would turn out to be like this? So if you've watched The Walking Dead, one of the things you notice a little bit after the first season is you start to find out that the zombies aren't the scary part of the world now. Now that the world's apocalyptic, everyone's, you know, there's no government, there's no nothing. It's all just everyone out for their own survival. The real threat is other people. The zombies are just there. But they're not really, I mean, yeah, they're a threat, but they're not, that's not really what you're afraid of. It's other people, how they react, how they manipulate, how they come and take your stuff. It's finite resources. So it's survival of the fittest. It's betrayal. It's backstab. It's alliances. It's who you can rely on. Who can you trust? How do you survive? How do you get out of this? It's all that. And he asked me legit, and I thought about that. I was like, and he was like, do you think it would turn out like that? And truthfully, I mean, obviously hypothetical zombies, I don't think are going to happen. I don't think zombies will happen, but I do think if anything similar happened, catastrophe, maybe even something like a nuclear war, all out grid shuts down. I told him this, I was like, I'm pretty sure there's a saying where like people are like, 3 weeks away from pure anarchy. If there's no food or no water, I think, and I'll tell you why, I think it would turn out that way. I think it would, there would be factions. I think your biggest fear is if you didn't have electricity or water or anything like that, I think your biggest fear isn't like, well, where am I going to get clean water? I think your biggest fear is, how am I going to survive to get clean water when all the other people around me trying to do the same thing? It sounds really black pill, and this might get dark. Matter of fact, the rest of this episode's good. If you're like, I'm having a great day, Ahsoka, Star Wars, I'm gonna try to land on a happy note, but I'm going down a dark path. I do think The Walking Dead, matter of fact, it's one of the reasons why I think it's such a phenomenal show, because it does kind of explore a lot of different scenarios of how people would react and how you would react with it. And it really brings up the idea of what are morals. And I'm going to bring up Immanuel Kant only for one reason, to kind of tie this in. I'm going to do my best to tie this in to, you know, category imperative and what ethics really mean. Is it duty or is it, you know, whatever. The only reason I'm bringing Kant in is because I have an idea of what I want to title this video. You'll probably see it at the top. That's really why I'm bringing Kant. I could have done anything else. But Kant is a, you know, 18th century or 19th century philosopher. He talked a lot about ethics, and he believed that, you know, the means never justify the ends. You can't look at people as a means to the end. They are the end. And so you prioritize morals over everything. If it's the right thing to do, it is your duty to do so. It's not about what the outcome is. There's a lot of stuff he talked about, but that's kind of it. And I thought The Walking Dead really ties in with that and talks. I mean, Ahsoka does the same thing. This last episode where they're, you know, Sabine's like, we want to go find Ezra. And Soka's like, that's not really what we're doing. We're doing this to make sure Thrawn doesn't come back. This is really what it's about. So what is the actual, not what's benefit for me or for the greater good. What is morally right to do for each individual and how that works. And I think The Walking Dead takes that and lays it out in multiple different scenarios from, you know, starving or who do you trust? Or do you kill one family? And this, again, dark, sorry if people listening, but you know, do you sacrifice one family to save your own? Where do you draw those moral lines? When do you think it's good because I'm doing something good and the outcome's going to be good for the people I care about, but it's bad for the people that, you know, that you don't care about, and that survival of the fittest. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like The Walking Dead so much, is because it puts you in scenarios where you're constantly asking, what would I do in this scenario? And the reason I bring that up is because when I said things are going to get a little wonky, and I don't know if you've been paying attention at all, but I'm gonna show you a few things. So this is a weird segue, but again, I'm tying it all in. And I'm going to try to do the pull-up thing again. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to pull it up. So back in August, I remember on the 18th, I'm on Twitter. You can find me at Pardon Will Art on Twitter, or X, whatever they call it now. Twitter, X, whatever. I sent this clip, and it's everybody's favorite household news anchor, Alex Jones. I don't care what you think about Alex Jones. Alex Jones' right jar fills up quite often. But the Alex Jones' wrong jar probably fills up often too. So he swings for the fences. Sometimes he misses. Sometimes it's a home run. And knowing that, I love Alex Jones. I just think he's fun. I think Alex Jones is great. I just think he's great. I wouldn't take all my advice from him, but I do think he's just, as far as even a fictional character, I would write a character like him because he's that much fun. But he puts out this thing, this episode on InfoWars where he talks about, and I'll read a summary of it. I'll give you the gist of it because I don't even know if the sound comes through on the video, so I'm not going to play the video of the episode where he talks to a TSA agent. This is back in August, mid-August. And the TSA agent, and you can go look this video up. TSA agent says basically COVID's coming back. They already have a plan for bringing masks out mid-September to the beginning of October. By middle of October, you're going to start seeing lockdowns and mask mandates. No, not lockdowns, mask mandates. And then by December, I think, well, let me pull this up and so you can see it for yourself. I'm going to attempt this. Let's see how this works. Okay, yeah. And so this is, I'm not going to play the video, but, and this is Alex Jones says the TSA whistleblower told him that TSA employees were instructed on Tuesday, that's back in August 18th, that the masks are coming back by October for travelers and full COVID restrictions lockdowns by December due to a dangerous variant out of Canada. All right. I'm going to close that down. Back to me. When I saw this, I was like, BS. And the reason I say that now in the future, we're in almost mid-September. At the time, I was like, I didn't say BS, but I was very suspicious. Matter of fact, I sent it to my family and some friends and was like, dude, what's going on? And the reason is because I live in the Northeast. And a month ago, that sounded nuts, right? A month ago, that sounded nuts. The reason why it doesn't sound nuts probably to you right now is because you've already started seeing it. It was like a week later. I saw that one university was requiring it. I saw COVID spikes are going up. I live in New York, so I think over in Syracuse or Buffalo, they already had a hospital requiring masks. And it started to pop up everywhere. And people were like, oh, this is, you know, it's flu season. Of course, COVID's coming back. These are just precautions, right? These are just precautions because it's better. You get your flu, whatever. And then, I mean, if you haven't noticed, I almost brought a newspaper. The Associated Press brought out that they're building a new new COVID vaccine about to roll out for this new variant. So Alex Jones, whether you like him or not, kind of seemed right a month ago. Sounds stupid. Now it's like, well. And I even tweeted out, like, I'm saving this for continuity. So here's another thing that I noticed. And I'm going to try to pull this up as well. Here's another one right here. This came out 6 hours ago today. Today we took action approving and authorizing emergency use updated COVID-19 vaccines formulated to more closely targeted current calculated variants. Oh, God, I'm trying to read this. To provide better protection against serious consequences of COVID. Here's what you need to know. That's from the US FDA tweeted out today. So obviously something's ramped up. You've seen it. I mean, despite the fact that Dr. Jill Biden, the first lady, she came down with COVID. Whoopi Goldberg this last week came down with COVID. Like, it's all coming back. And I mean, a month ago, I'd been like, no, I don't know. But even now, like, hypothetically, it's flu season, it's COVID season, whatever. You could be saying to yourself, yeah, but lockdowns, mask mandates are a bit extreme. CBS Albany, up here where I live, they came out with like, hey, it looks like the mask mandate's coming down. And they literally, I know you can't see me right now. Let me bring this down. And they literally in it was like a poll. Will you comply? Will you not? And I was like, that's a Fed post. That's a joke. But yeah, I was like, this was 3 weeks after, and literally a month before then, I was like, nah, it's an election year. That would be too obvious, right? Like, we did this in 2020, and even my, you know, someone texted me back after I sent that to him. Was like, this sounds dumb. Why would they, this would be bad. If it's the current regime, the Biden administration, they're going to bring back, wouldn't this be bad? Would this be bad for the elections for them if they start bringing this stuff back? And then the other thought is like, well, mail-in voting, absentee voting was a huge thing. People voted from their couch because of COVID. And that had a lot to do with how many people voted for a particular party. And so it doesn't seem like it wouldn't be a bad thing. Now, I'm not saying it's planned by any means. But one does have to think. I thought Alex was dumb a month ago. And I'm like, no, it seems like I'm going to be adding money to that jar. One more thing. So if you're like, oh, you know, it's just COVID season. They're not going to bring back the lockdowns. I know what you're thinking. Like, I'm a conspiracy theorist, whatever. They're not bringing them back. They're not going to make people flying on planes masks. They're not going to go full lockdown. Then I saw that. And this is a video. I'm going to see if this video will play. This is something I saw today, too. And I was like, son of a gun. So here's a video. And I don't know how to full screen this. So I'm going to bring this down. This is Mario Narfall. Oh, let's bring this.
My money. We do need more money.
Listen.
But we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing for fairly well. That's why we need the money.
All right. I hope that played. I hope that showed up. Or you at least heard it. That's basically, by, I don't know if that's a deep fake. I didn't watch the full clip. I didn't watch any press conference. But if that's real, seems like we should all be adding money to the Alex Jones jar right about now. So going back to this, I mean, that was a huge side rant. Whatever. I don't know if it's real. If I don't really, at this point in time, I don't really care. It's not, it's going to affect us all in some way or another. I don't really have any qualms about how you feel about vaccines or whatever. Talk to your doctor, do whatever, honestly, do whatever you think is best. But the thing I will point out, and this is where, this is goes back to my friend asking me about The Walking Dead. And he goes, do you really think people, and basically was referring to people would be that aggressive towards each other. Like it would be that much bloodshed, that much fighting. And, you know, that much like every man for himself, every group for themselves. He was like, do you really think that that would be what people would do? And I said, yeah. And the reason I said yeah is because I don't know if everyone forgot. And this is where you're going to get to know a little bit more about me in this episode. And I'm sorry if this it offends your sensibilities at some point in time. But it feels like everyone forgot how people acted during 2020 when the COVID thing happened. While I'm recording this today is 9/11, and people talk about, like, you know, when that terrible thing happened, the whole United States came together. We felt like one again. You know, there was a, you know, outside enemy, and everyone came together, and there was this camaraderie, and, you know, we're back at it, and we're gonna help each other out and stuff like that. But then everyone thought the same thing with the COVID thing. Didn't happen. Matter of fact, right off the bat, it was political. It was parties fighting parties, and everything kind of switched. At first, it was the right being like, we're gonna mask up, Trump said so, and it was left like, I'm not wearing your, I'm not taking your Trump vaccine. You guys does anyone even remember the weird time zone we went into back at when it started? Trump was like, I made it. He still says it. He's like, yeah, no, that warp speed thing, that vaccine, that was this guy, along with the bleach and whatever, but that was me. I made the vaccine, and he gets booed at his own rallies for it. But at the time, everything was backwards, and then everything flipped, which happens all the time. If you pay attention to news and the media, and again, I would bring this back to like news media. I'm way off on the reservation. I think even that's offensive. I that phrase itself, off the reservation, is offensive to a ton of people. I literally don't care anymore. And one of the reasons I don't care is because I don't know how serious to take people. And the reason I say the whole Walking Dead thing is because that whole time, that whole COVID, it was appearing to the soul of the common man. The complete and utter disregard for other people, and this could be said on a ton of different sides, but the complete disregard of other people, how we treated people in the aisles of a grocery store, like the people flipping out because you weren't wearing a mask, or the people like virtue signaling and showing up online. And maybe because it's online, you see it a lot more, but it was appearing to the soul that people who don't have power when given some state of authority, use it to the utter extent, and people turn on each other. People are ratting people out because they saw they were having a birthday party in their backyard. People couldn't go to their family's funerals because of this thing. And people were happy about it. Like, mind blowing how, and this is where my Christian, this desperately wicked the heart of man is it takes very little for us to feel no empathy for an overall concept on whatever political side you want. And for us to be in whatever authoritative section we are, like whatever tribe we are, again, the whole tribe thing, whatever authoritative tribe stance that we are, the fact that we would cut and run and cut people down and treat them the way a lot of us treated each other in 2020 is very indicative of how people really feel. And I'm telling you, ever since 2020, I don't think it's gotten any better. I think people are even more split. I think the divide between this gap of how people feel, this tribal thing, this echo chamber, I think it's getting worse. And I'm not, I mean, full disclosure, I'm a terrible libertarian. I'm probably on the right way further than I should be. I like some libertarian principles, but I'm not a full libertarian. I'm what they probably call a conservatarian, where I'm conservative in a lot of my, and there's a very strong stances of why a lot of it has to do with my ideals and my beliefs. And I've talked about that before, but man, that tribal thing, and that's why I say I'm nervous about, I'm not personally super nervous, but I'm pretty nervous about this upcoming year. Not that COVID, and people are talking about like, oh, it's election year, why wouldn't COVID come back? Man, I don't know if it's just like, is anyone paying attention? Because this stuff seems real weird. Everything has like a weird timing. If you look at like the indictments of Trump and when he's going to jail and or when he's going to trial, and man, everything seems like weird chess moves. And I'm over in the side just watching it going like, these are literally things being put into play on purpose. Like, why wouldn't you be? Anyway, I'm not trying to get conspiracy. This isn't really a conspiracy podcast, but if it were, I'd take you for a ride. Which might be something I add to. Maybe I'll start doing some conspiracies like Bigfoot, stuff like that. Maybe, we'll see. But anyway, I said all that to say that Walking Dead is a great series. Looking forward to the ones coming out. Back to the writer strike. You know, I like to tie everything in. If back in the 2020s, everything kind of slowed down, but we still had TV shows coming out. And everyone was glued to the... I think that helped a lot of people. Matter of fact, I blame Tiger King for at least 30% of America's sanity at that time. Because while COVID's happening, we had the Tiger King. And we were all like, oh, thank God I'm not in that world. Whatever the world that is. I personally wanted to be in that world. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, man. If we have nothing new coming out, no new Marvel, Star Wars, everything is shut down, no new entertainment. And if anything, I feel like America is soaked in lighter fluid, and it's going to take just small little sparks just set this thing off. And I'm sorry to blackpill you guys. Last election year, 2020 was crazy. It just seems like everyone feels like the stakes are higher this time around. Makes me nervous about how people are going to react. And because I saw how people look at their fellow neighbor and their other person, you know, to their family members, people stopped being family members, whether you did or did not get a vax or wore a mask. People's hearts are deceitfully wicked. Like it's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway. So yeah, I think The Walking Dead does a phenomenal job of outlining the human soul. It'd be cool if you went back and watched that and put yourself in those positions. How'd you react? That duty over morals, that Immanuel Kant thing that comes into play. Matter of fact, this last episode I'm watching, it basically, it's there's two families and their head leaders, and they don't want to fight, but they're going to have to. And you can tell, like, it's like, hey, I don't want to do this, but I'm gonna, because it's my family over everything. And it's one of the like tribes. And I'm telling you, like, it's a great outline of how I'm starting to feel like we're heading in this 2024 election year. Anyway, that's it. Here's what I'll end off with. Sorry. Here's my high note. I'll end with this. Go buy this book. I'm going to do a book review. It's going to be amazing. Maybe if they don't stop coming out with TV shows, I can't review anymore. I'll just start reviewing cool stuff. I did start playing Starfield, which is the new Bethesda game that came out. It's like Skyrim in space. I just tried it out. I had to immediately stop. Easily a new addiction. I'm not a gamer, but man, I will burn myself out on a game like real fast. And I almost did this weekend. I was like, I'm just going to walk around for a little bit. 7 hours later, I was like, I walked around. Could easily play that game. It's very similar. It feels like Skyrim again, but you're in space. I might review that. I might not. You can probably look up any YouTube video and see that. If you want to know my opinions, it's a cool game. Again, not a gamer, so I don't really review those because I walk around and craft stuff. I don't even play it properly. Anyway, here's what I will say. I'm going to end on this because this is the first podcast coming back, and I'm sure these topics will show up. If you were like, hey, David, you are a lunatic. You're an extremist. Probably have no idea. Put that in the comments, like and subscribe, all that good stuff. Hey, tell me how you thought about that new intro video. But I will say this in this coming year, because I did just kind of black pill everybody and been like, it's going to get bad. I don't know how bad it's going to get. It seems like everyone's lost faith in the institutions. I'm on the other end going, I've lost faith in people. I get real nervous around people, knowing what happened and how people feel about other people. So I will say this. There's this famous saying online where if you spend too much time online, I had a friend of mine who was like, you might want to lay off the podcasts, which true, but I wouldn't have saw that Twitter post about Alex if I wasn't on the internet. But there's an important, this is what I did over the summer. I got out, and there's a saying that when people are on the internet too much, it starts to show, like they start getting real aggressive. The total depravity of man starts to come out online, especially when you're anonymous. The people say, go out and touch grass. It's kind of like, go out and be more grounded in what's really happening. And so I understand the internet's like, it's the internet and people, all these conspiracy theories and all these. But to be honest, man, I was on the internet probably about the same much in 2020. And all the conspiracy theories that I were like, that seems about right, end up being pretty right. And so that makes me a little more nervous. But I will say, this summer, I haven't been doing podcasts because I haven't really been on the internet that much. I actually went out and touched grass. Not only did I touch grass, I mowed it and weed-eated it and spent a lot of time grew a garden with my wife. Ate some tomatoes from it today. Get out there and do that. And just remember, the internet's not everything. If you're on the internet too much, which most people listening this, the five of you probably aren't on the internet. So it's not a super big deal as much as I am. So I'll give you the news. I'll send you, I'll show up little clips of what Alex Jones is talking about weekly on my podcast. I probably won't do that. But anyway, do that. I will say this one last thing, and I might do a whole episode. You know, I tied in the total depravity human, like COVID thing with The Walking Dead and Immanuel Kant, bringing him up one more time because I want to keep that in the title. There's this line from Sherlock, the newer ones with Benedict Cumberbatch, and he says this to John. John's talking about this and, you know, looking up to Sherlock and how he's amazed at who Sherlock is. And Sherlock turns to John and says, John, there are no heroes. There's just men. And I, as a weird independent, because I'm not really libertarian, I'm on the right side. Now, I thought I was a centrist, but now, according to the internet, I am far right. I've really honed in on that. A few things happened in the past where some, you know, people in the church and people I really looked up to end up falling short, way short. And ever since then, I started looking at everything. Like, there aren't any heroes. I don't think Biden's a hero. I don't really think Trump's a hero. I don't think any if you worship a, there's another thing. If you really think a politician is, and some of them are, they're probably doing a great job. Maybe. I'll say it when I see it. But if you really are like putting all your chips in on a guy, especially because it's an election year and apparently the presidential election's the end all be all of all elections. There are no heroes. It's just men. And women, they're not heroes. And as soon as you start to treat these people like messiahs, they will let you down, and they will do it quickly and without regard and without remorse. And so I'll say this, if you want to seek God, that's my Christian plug at the end. read your Bible, look for Jesus. That's as far as heroes go, that's the only one I've ever seen. So do that, touch grass, seek God, and hold on tight. And I'll see you here next time. And I'll be a little bit happier. I'm sure I'll get Ahsoka and Anakin will be in their lightsaber battle. Like, this is the greatest show ever. And we don't ever have to talk about this COVID thing again, because it'll all go away. Anyway, I will talk to you guys next time. Oh, like and subscribe. Do it. Do it now.